Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Well, welcome to Campus Firewatch Radio. My name's Ed Camo. I'm the publisher of Campus Firewatch, and really glad you can join us today. We've got a great show lined up here with some pretty far-ranging topics. We're going to be starting off with a tragic fire that happened in Emporia, Kansas, where two international students were killed in an off-campus fire. As a result of this, the Minger Foundation sent a representative out there to meet with the Emporia Fire Department to talk about starting up a campus fire safety community service project. This is something that the Minger Foundation has been doing pretty successfully for several years in other places, and wanted to talk to Emporia about the idea of, well, is this something that would work in your community to try to take advantage of this tragic, teachable moment that's just occurred? Originally, the meeting was with the Emporia Fire Department, but it sure grew from there, and a lot of other people attended it, and really a lot came out of it. So a lot of lessons learned. So we'll be talking with the folks involved in that meeting. After that, we're going to be talking with Greg Cleveland, who is the fire chief from the La Crosse, Wisconsin Fire Department, about the fire they had out there at UWL, which took a dormitory out of service for an entire semester. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. Nobody was killed. But, boy, it sure had a significant impact on the campus and the community. So we'll be getting a good conversation about the lessons learned. Then we're going to be wrapping up the show talking about Capitol Hill Day, Campus Fire Safety Capitol Hill Day, which will be happening on March 20th and 21st this year. This will be the fifth year we'll be doing it, going up on Capitol Hill, meeting with legislators and their staffers to talk about some of the campus fire safety legislation moving through Congress. And we're going to be talking with Matthew Kuwach and Bonnie Woodruff, who have been there every year, about what a great program this is, and really get a good idea from the inside as to what happens and what you could do if you wanted to be a part of it. So why don't you sit on back and listen to this month's issue of Campus Firewatch Radio. My name is Ed Camo, the host, and we have a show today that's really focusing on a tragic event, but something where they're trying to make it a positive outcome that happened. In October, two international students were killed in a fire in Emporia, Kansas, and they were attending Emporia State University, and they died in an off-campus house fire, which is where most of the fatal fires do happen. As a result of this, the Minger Foundation sent a representative out from the Richmond, Kentucky Fire Department to work with the Emporia Fire Department about the possibility of doing a campus fire safety community service project, which the Minger Foundation had been doing in Richmond. And we have joining us today three guests that can expound upon that and talk a little bit more. The first is the Kansas State Fire Marshal Terry Maple, and then the Emporia Fire Chief Jack Taylor, and then the Public Information Officer from Richmond, Kentucky, Corey Lewis. So, gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Campus Firewatch Radio.
Good morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Right.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. Jack, I'd like to start with you a little bit, if we could, and maybe you can kind of set the stage for us in terms of the event, the incident, the tragedy that happened out there that really got this whole ball rolling. Maybe you can explain a little bit what happened out there.
Okay. 12:18 in the morning on a clear night, we got called to a residence, 12 West 11th in Emporia, Kansas. Firefighters arrived on scene to see what appeared to be a duplex structure, a wood frame, and smoke showing on the duplex on which would be on side D. They made entry. As they opened the door, they did notice some flame, not a lot, and then discovered the two victims just inside in the front room of the structure, and removed those two victims. One was deceased on the scene. The other was transported to the local hospital and later flown out to a second burn center, and where that individual subsequently passed away. The fire was very quickly extinguished, and it was after the investigation determined that the cause of the fire was related to combustibles on or very near the floor furnace that had just been lit that evening.
So this was an off-campus house. As I remember, you told me it was a single-family wood frame that had been converted into apartments?
And that's what it appears to be, a single-family wood frame converted into two units upstairs. And what, of course, is important is that we do a 360. And if you go to the back of the structure, you'll see that there is a entrance on the backside to the downstairs apartment that is not, you wouldn't immediately know that from arriving at the front side. So there is there are actually three units in that structure rather than just the two that are immediately visible as you see it from the street. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is about a block south of the main campus.
What about smoke alarms?
We found in our investigation, we found smoke alarms in the downstairs apartment and in the apartment upstairs that was not involved in the fire. We never did find a smoke detector in the apartment of fire origin, and we don't know if that's because it got overlooked, whether it got removed with other debris, whether what happened, but logic would lead us to believe that there was a smoke detector at least at one time in that apartment. We can't account for it from our observations after the fire.
Well, when I heard about this fire, it kind of came shortly after we had done a program out there at Eastern Kentucky University. I've been working on a grant project with the Minger Foundation on campus fire safety community service projects where the students are working with the fire department to go out and do some outreach. And I was reading the news stories on this. I saw that students at Emporia State University were kind of getting motivated to do some action. And this really gave me the thought that, well, perhaps some of the programs that the Minger Foundation had done at EKU, Eastern Kentucky University, would work at ESU, Emporia State University. So Mrs. Minger and I, the president of the foundation, had some conversations with Chief Taylor and the president of ESU about, you know, what could we do to help you? Because right after an incident, there's always a lot of stuff up in the air. And kind of what we came up with as a solution is possibly sending a representative from the Richmond Fire Department out to meet with Emporia and Emporia State University. So we contacted Corey Lewis, who was pretty involved with the launch that had gone out there at EKU, to come on out and meet with them. So, Corey, maybe you can give a little bit of background on what the program was in Richmond that you were doing, and then about your trip out there and the meeting. And I'll ask Jack Taylor and Terry Maple to also weigh in a little bit on the meeting as well. But maybe
sure.
You can tell what happened out there in Richmond and kind of what happened when you got to Emporia.
Yeah, at the end of September 26th, we did host the national kickoff for the community service project for the Minger Foundation. As part of that, what we did is a day of festivities. We had the press conference itself where we had lots of dignitaries. We had a representative from the governor's office. We had the Kentucky State Fire Marshal there, representatives from student organizations, representatives from college and universities around the state to kick the program off. That day, obviously, nothing draws college students in more than free things, and free food will really draw college students in. So we had some free pizza there. We had some giveaways. We really drew a lot of attention to the program itself. We had some keynote speakers that morning that shared. After that time, in conjunction with that, we did a mock dormitory burn, which we have done on Eastern's campus several times throughout the college year. We've done it for residence hall advisors training. We've done it for student organizations. We've done it for safeties and securities management students. And so we did it that day. We showed them what a sprinkler dormitory room looked like, and we showed them what a unsprinklered dormitory room looked like when they had fire in them. So it's a day of festivities. The end of the day, we all loaded up with a host of students, with Gail Minger herself and some student base, and we went around to some residences that we had picked out and spotlighted and installed some smoke detectors. The fire department and the students partnered together to go out to do a quick safety consultation of the home and install the smoke detectors that were given by First Alert, or donated to the program for us to install. So, you know, that kind of kicked off our program in Richmond is one day. But it wasn't just one day of activities. We jointly did another 2 days of community service projects. We worked really closely with the student organizations office there at Eastern Kentucky University to get it out to the student base to identify Greek organizations, to identify student organizations that would come with us, the fire department, and go to, we looked for the demographic areas of large concentrations of college students, whether that was multifamily dwelling, single family dwelling, it didn't matter. But our demographic was high concentrations of college students living in our community. And we went through and we divided up into different groups with students and firefighters to facilitate installations in those home safety consultations. And, you know, that's just a little bit about the program that we did there at Richmond. I think it went really, really well from our partnership with the university to get students involved and learn from a applicable part of not just telling them fire safety, but they really had a hand in making it happen. And that was the Menger Foundation's main goal, was to get students involved in the community service project so that they took something away from the program, not just that they heard a message. They actually got their hands dirty, for lack of better terms, and got out there and were installing the detectors and teaching other people, other students, about fire safety. So they got it on two fronts. They got it and they heard it from the firefighters. They heard the firefighters talk about it. Then they were able to share that with their fire or with their students, and then actually physically do the installations themselves. So and it was very unique. I think my sitting back and really looking at how this played out, the firefighters developed a relationship with the students that they went around with for those days. And it wasn't the same students every day, but it was, they were with that student for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, depending upon how long we did the program in that particular day. But our firefighters developed a relationship with the students, and it really started out as the firefighter themselves doing the interaction with the person whose apartment or house we were going into, explaining what we did. By middle of the day, 30, 45 minutes into the program, the students were really taking control. They saw how the facilitation, the interaction went in the home, and the students were initiating that conversation. Students tend to or be a little more accepting when it's students knocking on the door as opposed to a rough, gruff firefighter knocking on the door. So these students, you know, knew some of the students' homes that we were going into. They had a relationship with those students. So there's a different dynamic there that the student brought to the community service project as opposed to just the fire department going and doing it and facilitating smoke detector installations. You know, we got the gratification of getting smoke detectors in those homes, fixing problems that we saw, putting batteries in, things like that. But what we took away, the fire department, was that not only did the students that went with us gain some information about fire safety, I think they gained a new respect for what the fire department does and the challenges that we have to overcome, but it gave them an eye-opening experience, because I heard several students say after this, well, we went into that apartment and they had smoke detectors, but they weren't working. I didn't really think about my smoke detectors not working. So it kind of opened their eyes up to fire safety and gave them a different perspective of how important it is to live in a place that's fire safe and take a little personal ownership and personal responsibility to make good decisions wherever they live. The process of checking the smoke detectors, the process of ensuring that they're not overloading circuits with extension cords, you know, and different outlets. And so From the perspective of the fire department, we were able to reach students in a different dynamic than we've ever been able to reach students before in this environment. And, you know, thanks to Gail and yourself, Ed, because you all facilitated that program for us, you know, just by initiating those phone calls and initiating the contact. And then that carries over to my trip to Emporia. You know, All I did was go out there and share what we'd been doing. And I was, you know, the partnerships that we have built with the fire department, with Eastern Kentucky University, the partnerships that we built with the student organizations, and share from my experience the things that we've done and that we've implemented. And, you know, that just really got the ball rolling and got the mindset for the meeting there in Emporia. And then a lot of people shared around that table. A lot of people had a lot of good input, had a lot of good questions. But overall, my outsider view of the meeting in Emporia and the time that I spent out there was that everybody has student safety as an important, you know, factor in their mindset. They want to keep students safe on and off campus, whether it's a ESU's student organizations group. They want to keep students safe on campus and off campus. You know, Emporia Fire Department, they have a passion for keeping students safe wherever they're living. And I continually heard that in the conversations that we had and that were had in that meeting in Emporia.
So, Jack, you know, the original plan was just, you know, Corey was going to come out and meet with you and Emporia State University, but you certainly got a lot of interest in this program or in this meeting, having a lot of other people attend it, didn't you?
Well, I really wanted to take advantage of the generosity of you sending Corey out, and the message needs to go much further than just Emporia. So I took the liberty of inviting fire chiefs from other communities that have universities and or community colleges within their jurisdictions, and in turn, some of those institutions got invited to send representation as well. And then, of course, I invited our state fire marshal, Terry Maple, who also came. So we had fire chiefs from or fire department representatives from Wichita, Lawrence, Manhattan, and Hayes. We had institution representatives from Emporia State University, Wichita State University, and several community colleges. So we really took advantage of Corey being here to open up that discussion, not only for Emporia, but to spread that message across the state as well.
And what was kind of the reaction of all the people there to the whole concept of, you know, involving students and going out on the trucks and doing smoke alarms and home fire safety visits? What was everybody's reaction to that?
Well, I think Corey did a great job of opening the discussion with his presentation of what they had done in Richmond and in Eastern Kentucky. And that opened people up to not only were they receptive to what Corey said, but some of them had already been doing some activities that they shared with the rest of us, and it kind of opened the door for discussion, so that we saw things from each other that we could just share even among departments in the state that we had not shared before, and everybody just seemed very receptive to taking advantage of the moment and trying to make something positive come out of this tragedy. And it was indeed a tragedy, and we need to take this opportunity to make things better for the future.
Terry, what was your takeaway from the meeting that you were there, you know, from the state fire marshal's kind of position of looking at this and the idea of implementing a community service project at other schools across the state? Do you feel like it's something that's a doable kind of concept?
I think the meeting should serve as a catalyst for that, and I'd like to compliment Chief Taylor for bringing everybody together, because that's how you address some of these things, and he's not willing to let it, you know, that tragic event go without an improvement in fire safety. He didn't look at it from just Emporia. He looked at it statewide, which is very, very important. And one of the key partners that came to that table was the leadership from Emporia State University as well. And they had a sincere interest in you know, protecting their students, I think, and Jack may talk about it here in a little bit, but they've also got some follow-ups. The other folks that came from our region's institutions and those kind of things, the fire safety obviously got raised to a different level. And that's what we need to capitalize on. So that meeting started that. some of the key players we've got to reach out to and we got to get on board with us also are the leadership from the universities, I think, and they are key to making that happen. But you got to have the local departments do that outreach, and I think there's some real opportunities for us there, and there's some unique things going on in our state at various institutions already, but we can improve that.
What was a little bit unique about this fire as opposed to some of the other fatal tragedies we've had across the nation was the two victims were international students from China. And as a result of that, another organization that also helped us was the Jasmine Jahashani Foundation, Fire Safety Foundation out of Florida. Jasmine was killed in a fire in France. She was a student at Berkeley, and she was on an international program studying in France when she and four other students were killed in an off-campus fire. And as a result, her parents founded the foundation to really help with outreach and education and providing smoke alarms and other fire safety equipment. So they donated the smoke alarms for this program to the Emporia Fire Department to use in the outreach program. And that kind of leads me to, what are you looking to do here, Jack, for the future? EKU had a great program and other places where the students get on the truck and ride with the firefighters. Is that something similar to what you're looking at doing there in Emporia?
We're really trying to maintain the momentum from that meeting, and Corey saw that at the end of that meeting, when everyone else dispersed, I asked for the Emporia State contingent to remain, and so that we could have our own meeting. And we talked about various things that day, set some very achievable short-term goals, one of them being to set future meetings for the committee. And try to actually get a couple of other folks on the committee. And then other short-term goals like training for the RAs in the housing for the Emporia State University, training for incoming transfer students, and those will be happening very shortly. But we're looking at every fall semester. They have a big block party on the north end of Commercial Avenue here, right adjacent to the university, and we will have a big appearance there at that block party, and join with some other folks to spread a fire safety message, and we're going to make ourselves more visible on campus. And so our first follow-up meeting to the meeting where Corey came is actually today at 11:30. Mm-hmm. And we will continue to pursue those goals, set other future goals, and we have set up a SharePoint program so that folks on the committee can share documents and communicate efficiently even when we're not meeting. And one of the big things that I would like to see that we're going to pursue is having someone from the student body to also be on this committee to help gain the perspective of the students. Right. So I think that's an important part of what we have done and what we're looking to do, and to keep this momentum and push forward to the future.
Now, as I mentioned, this fire did involve international students, and it turns out that ESU does have a relatively large international population there, doesn't it?
The Emporia State University has a very aggressive international student recruiting, and we have actually from a number of countries, but the majority of those international students, I believe, are from China. An important part of our university population.
How about EKU, Corey? Is that the same sort of situation there?
Yeah, we have a significant international student population, and really going to Emporia opened my eyes up to the cultural differences that those international students would face. Coming to the United States, they different ways to heat the home. They may not have ever encountered, a floor furnace or something of that nature, because in their culture that wasn't the way they heated the homes there. So from my perspective, when I came home from Emporia, the wheel was turning in my head, and already looking at ways we can identify ways to reach those international students. And something that came out of the Emporium meeting that I gained was I immediately went to the university's international student organization, where all international students have to register, and tried to find out, you know, what do they do? Because I learned that at ESU there, they have a new student orientation specifically for international students. So I reached out to our international student organization here at Eastern Kentucky University to try to see how I can meet the needs of those students. And all of this came out of my trip to Emporia and just hearing about, you know, how being an international student does it complicate things a little bit when you're talking in the terms of fire safety. They're not familiar with the ways of the United States in fire safety measures or ways to heat the home and things like that. So when you're talking to them, you may have to explain things a little differently because they're not familiar with that thing. So, you know, we've tried to identify that, and that came out of just listening to the things that were happening there in Emporia. And, you know, to kind of feed what Jack was saying, it surprised me that the ESU folks were already identifying ways, partnerships, different people on campus that they could get in with, partner with, or have input on that would meet the needs of the students.
And, you know, I've been talking with some of your peers, Terry, you know, other state fire marshals about these programs, and they're saying, yeah, this seems very doable, but I think a lot of it really comes down to those partnerships that Corey was just alluding to, isn't it? You know, the fire department has to meet with the university, have the conversations, you know, before the emergency happens and see if they can set these programs up. It really comes down to relationships, doesn't it?
That's exactly it, Ed. And you know, the relationships, we're very fortunate in Kansas. We have a lot of those relationships. And what we need to do is, just like Chief Taylor did, is get those people to the table. And when you start talking about some of those things, you know, you get a lot of good ideas and you get a lot of conversation before an event occurs. And then whether it's an emergency management response or a fire response or whatever it may be, you're ready to go and you all know each other before that. And in the whole goal of that is to improve the safety for all the students.
Right. And hopefully, too, when these students graduate, you know, they carry this message beyond the borders of the campus. You know, it's kind of messages for life is what we keep saying here. We're trying to teach them what they need to know to stay safe throughout their lives. It's not just for the 4 years they're on campus or the times they're within the campus borders. So there's a lot of, you know, kind of a multiplier effect that we're looking for in programs like this to see if we can get them to catch on in other locations around the country.
Well, and that's one of the things, you know, we were looking at and started talking to some of our schools about some of the things they're doing. And, you know, our Overland Park Fire Department works in conjunction with Johnson County Community College in the Kansas City area, and they do some outreach to high school. And part of what they do for the high school folks is teach them about going off to college. So that's even on the front end of it before they ever get to college. They also do some things for, you know, specific areas in the college. You mentioned programs for life skills. That's everybody. They do things specifically for nursing students about hospital fire safety, evacuation of patients, cooking program, you know, general fire safety, how to handle grease fires, restaurant hood systems, those kind of things. So you're right. There's a lot of spinoff benefit to these kinds of discussions and activities.
Well, we really appreciate you guys taking the time to join us this morning and fill us in a little bit on what happened both in Richmond and out there in Emporia. You know, we're certainly going to stay in touch with what's going on to learn the progress on it and learn, you know, what works and what doesn't work, too, because we learn just as much from both of them. But, you know, we really like this idea of kind of having a go-team concept of somebody like Corey going out and helping out, you know, after a tragedy like this to kind of get the ball rolling, you know, and do the lessons learned out there. So I'd like to thank all of you. We've been talking to Terry Maple, the Kansas State Fire Marshal, Jack Taylor, Emporia Fire Chief, Emporia, Kansas, and Corey Lewis, who's the PIO for the Richmond, Kentucky Fire Department. So thanks for joining me on the show this month, guys.
Well, thank you very much for having us, and thank you for sending Corey. We very much appreciate that.
Well, we have to give the credit on that to the Minger Foundation, who made that possible, and also the Jasmine Jahashani Foundation that donated the smoke alarms. I have to give credit where credit is due. But we're going to have more information available. There'll be some links here on the page on Campus Firewatch Radio, where you can get some more information if you're interested in this whole concept, or if you want to get in touch with any of us, we'll have information on that as well. So thanks for joining us this month. Well, joining me now in Campus Firewatch Radio is Fire Chief Greg Cleveland with the La Crosse, Wisconsin Fire Department. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be on the line with you this morning.
We're going to be talking about the fire that happened out there at the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, which was a pretty significant one in that it was a fire in a residence hall. And what's really impactful about this one is, fortunately, there were no injuries in it, but it took the entire dorm out of service for the entire semester, which is pretty unusual. Haven't heard much of that sort of thing happening. And so we're going to talk to Greg, try to get some a little bit of the background on the fire and the fire ground operations and kind of how this is impacting the university. So I know, Greg, maybe you can just kind of fill us in a little bit about what the building is like and then maybe segue into the fire incident itself.
Sure. Well, Ed, you know, the building is basically a fire-resistive construction. It was four stories, and it had a smoke alarm system as well as a fire alarm system activated by pole stations as well as the smoke alarms. And I think it was your fairly typical residence hall, built probably prior to 1970. The alarm system had been updated and had the flashing strobes. The actual fire occurred in the basement. I should mention that the doors were secured in order for students to access the building. They had to have more or less like a credit card to where they would swipe, and then obviously that time would be recorded and people would be able to enter and leave. There were other features of the building that were kind of interesting in the fact that after a certain period at night, there was only one entrance that could be that students could access the building. So we had a fire in the very early morning hours. It was around 4:30 a.m. And the fire was in some furniture that was located in the basement. The furniture ignited. There was significant smoke and fire in the building. The smoke traveled to the upper floors of the top four floors. The smoke alarm detected the fire, obviously initiated the alarm. There was an immediate response by the University of Wisconsin campus police as well as the fire department. And what was really kind of amazing about this is the behavior of the students. Prior to the arrival of the fire department, which was, was less than 4 minutes, we had total evacuation of the building. And we're talking approximately 250 students, give or take, extra people being in the dormitory on that early Sunday morning, or people who may not have been in the building and were elsewhere on the campus or in the community. But a Sunday morning fire, approximately 4:30 in the morning, was pretty amazed that the students had completely, almost completely evacuated the building prior to the fire department arrival. What's interesting is that, if I can talk just for a second, Ed, we talk about, this issue of false alarms and whether the fire service should be responding emergency on all companies to the building or not. And, we changed our policy a couple of years ago to reduce the potential for injuries to our firefighters and civilians responding. So our policy at the time was if it was a monitored fire alarm, which this was, only the closest company would respond emergency and the remaining companies would go non-emergency. And That was the policy that we followed. So our engine from the closest main station, which was, you know, probably less than a mile away, we responded emergency. Our shift commander responded non-emergency, as well as the other stations coming to this call. And when they got on scene, obviously there was a significant amount of smoke that had already accumulated in the basement, and was going to the upper floors. So the shift commander immediately upgraded all other companies that were responding to this fire to come emergency. You know, we probably want to put that issue just to the side just for a few seconds, because I think that's something that I think we should talk about in terms of lessons learned a little bit later on. So, again, as the shift commander arrived on scene, the building had been almost completely evacuated. We had a quick briefing from campus police, which was on scene, and we ended up advancing lines down into the basement. And again, it was kind of high heat conditions as a result of the fire resistive construction. We're talking, you know, poured concrete, a lot of heat buildup there. There had been a window that had been broken out as a result of the fire, so we had some flame coming out the window, as well as a lot of heat and smoke. But, you know, it's almost that pillbox effect where you're in there and the heat's being radiated off the concrete. And it was a fairly significant, very high heat fire. Obviously, we sent, you know, the first company went into the basement to control the fire so that, you know, we tried to stop the propagation of smoke to the upper floors. There was a significant protocol followed where, you know, we searched immediately above the fire, then the very top floor, and came down, and we ended up, I believe it was, evacuating three additional students. Fire was extinguished, and then by our standard operating procedure, our investigators were called in, the scene was secured, and we started on with the rest of the investigation and the mop-up and cleanup. Had an opportunity, I was called to the scene that morning, had the opportunity to meet with Chancellor Joe Gao. We talked briefly. I allowed my shift commanders to continue to do what they needed to do with the building, as well as our fire investigators who were on scene. And there was a high collaboration, a high degree of collaboration between the UW police and administration and my on-duty shift commanders and personnel. And then later, you know, our fire investigators were incorporated into that. So that's just a real brief overview of what happened. It was fire was very knocked down very quickly, which stopped the propagation of smoke, and it was a matter of trying to use positive pressure to evacuate the smoke and make sure the stairwells and et cetera were trying to remain as clear as possible for the students. But one thing that struck me was the rapid evacuation of the building by the students.
Now, does the university do regular fire drills with the students to?
Yes, I believe that's their policy, that they do regular fire drills with the student population. The fire department trains all the RAs each fall for, you know, what are their proper behaviors in the event of a fire alarm. You know, what are their roles and responsibilities. We do a lot of training with the RAs in terms of the interaction between our first in companies, the incident commander, and what we expect from UWL police, and as well as the RAs. So we have been doing that for a number of years, probably even before I became chief in 2006.
Now this dorm is shut down for the entire semester. Boy, that's got to be pretty significant, 271 students that they have to relocate for an entire semester.
It was, and I think, you know, I think that's some of the things that we need to focus on as well, because, you know, after the initial shock of the fire to university folks and to the students, you know, now comes the realization of where it sets in, and we have to relocate 270 students. And, you know, does the campus have that? They're setting up, you know, temporary living quarters. They're, you know, we're fortunate to have Viterbo University, which is another private four-year institution in the city. We also have a technical college, and there was a great collaboration between, you know, the resident people and the housing people at UWL and the other educational facilities to try to relocate these students. There were some temporary things established, and it was really kind of an exercise. And boy, you know, what do you do when? And, you know, early on, I think the university thought that they might be able to get this residence hall back up and running. But because of the significance of the fire and the damage it did to the building systems, the computer cabling and so on and so forth, as well as the smoke damage the smoke and the soot that propagated through the openings up to the other floors, it was... Within a few days, they became pretty much aware that this building was going to be shut down for the rest of the semester. And that's when they really changed gears and said, you know, this is not a short-term issue. This is a long-term issue, so that our response to this has to be a long-term solution. And again, I mean, you know, there were housing contracts that were canceled. It's my understanding that the university had business interruption insurance, but again, you know, there's less income coming in now from the student housing, there's just kind of a domino effect that I think the university learned, as well as some things that, you know, that we saw that says, you know, it's more than just a fire, it's more than just a life safety, but there's a lot of things that happen downstream after a significant fire like this that puts an added stress on the university, added stress on the students, as well as the community. And I think this fire pretty much illustrated that.
What are some of the lessons learned you're seeing out of this fire?
Well, I think, Ed, some of the lessons that we learned is that really the most important aspect is to have a high degree of interaction between the university, not only the administration and the chancellor's office, but you have to have face-to-face contact with the students. We have, since I've been here in 2006, I've made it a point to at least once a year go out to the Student Senate at UWL and speak personally about the need for fire safety. And, you know, I typically have always said, you know, how many people, you know, have had a fire? And it's amazed on just the student council how many people have raised their hands. I also share with the students that I had a personal story because I had a very good friend when I actually was in Menasha, Wisconsin, on the fire department there, that very good friend on the fire department, his son escaped a fire, actually was rescued by members of the La Crosse Fire Department, but there was at least one other fatality in an off-campus fire that occurred. And, you know, that was pretty significant to me back then, and it impressed upon me the issue of off-campus fire safety. So I share that story with the students, and, you know, I want them to know the effects of, you know, the contributions of smoking and alcohol and drugs and how those things are intertwined with fire fatalities. And, you know, we've had some pretty good discussions. We've had a lot of feedback. I get emails back from students asking about, you know, not only about, you know, on-campus issues, but then they ask about, well, you know, what about this wiring issue on off-campus housing? And, you know, we've done a fair amount of education with the students for both on-campus and off-campus fires. And I really think that that amount of interaction, that amount of education that we've had with the students really paid off in this particular fire. I mean, it was just amazing when I talked to my division chief when they arrived on scene, and to have a building, you know, 98% evacuated already. Students weren't even outside. They were already gone to their designated shelter areas. And, you know, that's really, at least in my opinion, it's very unusual for that to occur on a campus in a dormitory that hour of the morning. So to me, having that face-to-face, I mean, I have talked with Joe Gao, our chancellor. I attend meetings in the community with him. You know, we've talked more than on more than one occasion, not only about fire safety issue, but community issues, alcohol, and so on and so forth. And yet, you know, we had a really good dialogue, and you know, we knew one another, and I think that set his comfort level up to the point where, you know, we would do regular programs on UWL. We worked with the National Fire Sprinkler Association and did side-by-side burns right on the campus, right in the middle of the campus. And we've done smoke detector, battery, smoke alarm programs with them. They've actually taken a number of fire safety initiatives on their own to where we served only as a resource. And they also had a situation where they had a student, Peter Tallon, who was a student at the University of Wisconsin, La Crosse, went down to the University of Wisconsin-Madison to visit some friends, was staying in an off-campus housing, and unfortunately perished in an off-campus fire in Madison. They recently, you know, they recently worked with the Madison Fire Department, made this video for in honor of Peter and fire safety efforts. And I really think the awareness of fire safety on the UWL campus is probably higher. Prior to the fire, it was probably the highest I've ever seen it. We do get a lot of questions. We have a lot of interaction. And again, I think all that awareness, you know, knock on wood, was one of the contributing factors to the reason that this fire was so successful, and the fact that, you know, we had no one killed, no one even seriously injured, no one injured at all. And the cooperation between UWL police, UWL administration, and the fire department continues today. So I really think that the amount of effort that fire departments put into education, building relationships, not only with the administration, not only with the students, but having an ongoing dialogue is critical to situations like this. Having known Joe Gao, the chancellor, and showing up that morning in the fire and seeing him there, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it was really good because we didn't have to worry about this. Who's this guy? You know, who's the fire chief? Where is he from? Yep. What's his agenda? You know, it was just, you know, a very cooperative, and I think that, you know, he was more comfortable seeing me there. I obviously was very comfortable in seeing him there, and it just, that sort of relationship just kind of flowed down through the staff of both, you know, the fire department, the UWL, and police, the students, and it really kind of set a very positive tone for the rest of what was to come.
Now, you'd mentioned earlier about the tiered response that you had to this incident. Now, as a result of this, are you going to change that? Are you going to keep it that same protocol? What came out of that one?
Well, that's an issue that we're going to be looking at because, you know, one of the things that we are also looking at is this issue of accreditation. And, you know, accreditation wants us to look at, you know, issues of standards of cover and response. And, you know, we're going to be having to take a look and revise this policy to say, okay, is this still an appropriate policy for high life hazard occupancies, such as, you know, we have several high rise elderly facilities. You know, do we want to still carry out that policy yet? I think it's a matter of where we have to take a look at this, look at the frequency, the potential, and revisit this, especially including, you know, dormitory fires and fires on any of the college campuses that we have here in the city. So although, Ed, I can't tell you that we're going to change anything, but I think that it warrants us to take a look at this thing and to really say, okay, what are the hazards of doing this? What are the hazards of not doing this? And, you know, should we be more specific? And then to look at that, say, well, how do we make that determination? Can we use technology, our dispatch center, our mobile data computers to make this so that we have a policy that's not so cumbersome for our staff to understand? And but more importantly, are we doing the right thing for the right occupancies? And I think that's the discussion that we're going to have internally. And then we'll evaluate it, we'll implement it, evaluate it again, and then hopefully come up to a better policy based on what we've learned from this incident.
Well, a lot has really come out of this incident. As I mentioned, it's pretty unique in that a dorm's been taken out of service for an entire semester here. And we're going to have more information on the webpage here and also include a walkthrough that was done by Chancellor Gao of the fire and the damage that was aired shortly afterwards. So we'll have that on the webpage here below. But really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, Greg.
Well, Ed, it's important. And one of the things I've been thinking about is kind of sharing this, at least my experience and my perception of this. And I've kind of looked at it and said, you know, we had 270 students who had a crash course on fire safety. And I joked with our chancellor, should they get extra credit for the whole thing? But I think there are some very important lessons, and I think it's what fire departments do beforehand, before the fire, that is just as important as trying to put this fire out. And this whole issue and the whole purpose behind, you know, Campus Fire Watch and Campus Fire Safety just really drills that point home. There's so much that can be done proactively prior to a fire it will make the fire scene go easily, but more importantly, you know, it will keep both the students, faculty, and most importantly, the firefighters safer should there be a fire on campus.
Well, we've been talking with Greg Cleveland, who's the chief of the La Crosse, Wisconsin Fire Department, about the dorm fire they had there at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. And like I said, look on the webpage here for more information on this fire and some other stuff about campus fire safety that you might find helpful. Well, joining me today on Campus Firewatch Radio is Matthew Kuwach, who's the Executive Director of the Ohio Fire Safety Coalition, and Bonnie Woodruff, who's a parent advocate and also a board member of the Common Voices Coalition. And I thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to be talking about the Capitol Hill Day, which we have done now. I think this is going into our fifth time going up there in Capitol Hill. And it's really a great experience for the students. Both Matthew and Bonnie have been involved with this from just about the beginning on it. And what I'd like to do is kind of get their experiences on it a little bit and you know, try to encourage people to attend and learn more about what we do up there on Capitol Hill. Just a little bit of background, Matthew, out in Ohio there, the Fire Safety Coalition really works to promote fire safety within the state of Ohio. And they're a strong advocate and supporter of campus fire safety since Ohio has had a number of fatal fires out there and really appreciate their support on it. And Bonnie, unfortunately, lost her son, Ben, in the fire down in Chapel Hill at the University of North Carolina. And since that time, has also become a very strong advocate of campus fire safety. I've known Bonnie for many years now. And she's also, as I mentioned, a board member of Common Voices, which is a coalition of parents like Bonnie who all get together to really support residential sprinklers and campus fire safety. So, you know, it's a good marriage of bringing all these organizations together with others to help us up there in Capitol Hill. We go down there, we bring students, we bring advocates like Matthew and Bonnie, they join with us, and we go up there in Capitol Hill and we meet with the staffers and the legislators to talk about some legislation moving through Congress. And, you know, it's been a great experience. Wouldn't you say, Matthew, each year it just keeps getting better and better, and we see great success up there?
Well, of course, you know, after several years of doing it, you learn and you augment your styles as far as how you educate the folks on Capitol Hill. I certainly believe it's an effort that everybody should be involved with. Most of the folks on Capitol Hill aren't real knowledgeable in the fire safety statistics and what they could do to actually help save lives and reduce injuries on campus.
And, you know, Bonnie has come up there with busloads of kids, literally, from the UNC. So she's had a chance to spend a lot of time with them. And, you know, we go up there. Now, these are kids 18, 19, 20 years old and probably their first exposure to Capitol Hill. What's the reaction you see off of students when they're going back home, Bonnie?
Well, certainly, I think you're right. I mean, they most of them have never had the experience. In fact, there have been a few that have been on these trips that have never even been to Washington, D.C., so the excitement is pretty high. I think that most of the kids that do come, I mean, they have some idea. I mean, they do know what the purpose of their trip is, but they really don't have a clue about what is going to really be, what they're going to be really learning and experiencing. And usually on the way, there's lots of conversations about getting to know each other and that kind of thing. And on the way home, it is an unbelievable experience to hear them so excited and talking about all the things that they've learned and who they talk with. And some of them said, this is, you know, I really would love to do internship and I made this connection. And it's just been, it's an incredible experience to hear the level of education that they received while they were in D.C.
And it's kind of interesting. There was one student last year from Mount Union in Ohio who actually changed his major, and he's actually working as a lobbyist now up on Capitol Hill as a director.
That's right.
The
Sigma Alpha Epsilon chapter at Mount Union, they're actually drawing straws on who's going to go this year because obviously they only have so much money for everybody to come, but They certainly enjoyed it. They learned a tremendous amount about our government, but also fire safety, and they've taken that back to the campus, which is very, very valuable.
Yeah.
You say drawing straws. I hear it's a little more aggressive than that in terms of trying to decide.
Arm wrestling, maybe.
You know, Ed, I took busloads of students from UNC, and due to some changes in the administration at UNC, there was a year that we couldn't come twice. I think we changed it from going in September to March, and we'd already been in September.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers from UNC went down, but I thought that was really not a bad thing because it really opened up a lot of interest from other schools and made us work harder to get kids from other schools to come, which I think is the whole purpose of this, is to, increase the awareness. And I love for the UNC students to come. And as far as I know there are at least five coming this year. But I do think it's wonderful that there's been participation from other schools, and I'd like to see us work on, increasing that.
Well, and that's exactly what's happening so far this year. We do have, as you mentioned, UNC students coming, some students from Mountain Union, students from Hampden-Sydney College down in Virginia are coming up. And, Matthew, you bring a coalition of people out there from Ohio. Raleigh Fire Department's coming up. We get a real mixed bag, which is really great because the way this works for those of you listening out there, is we split this up into teams of three people. And we try to get a mixture of like a fire official, a parent advocate, and a student. And we always have a student on every single team. And so we break them up into threes, and then we schedule all these meetings across the hill. And when they go in there to meet with the staffer, and it's almost always the staffer they meet with, which, a lot of people are kind of disappointed that, gee, I didn't meet to meet with a congressman or a senator or something like that. But really, isn't that where the real work gets done, is meeting with the staffer versus the member
of Congress? That's what I've learned.
Yeah, you typically, you have the staffers, which can include the legislative directors, and those are the folks who actually write the laws, draft it for the congressmen or senators. So it's a good group of people that you meet with in both the House and the Senate side, most of which are, they welcome you with open arms, to understand what you're talking about. It's not your typical meeting that they're used to having, and they really relate to it because it really centers around people.
Yeah, and I think having a student on each team has been incredibly important, and we've gotten lots of feedback from the staffers just how impressed they were and how much it meant to them that they would take the student would take their time to come and be an advocate for fire safety. And I do think that, you know, I have learned, and I think it's very important to know that these legislators, they are so busy. They do not have time to read through every bill from cover to cover. So that's why it's very important for us to be talking to the staffers and the legislative assistants, because they're the ones that really do know what is in these bills, and they can recommend to their, you know, congressmen what, you know, when we go and talk with them and make an impression, that helps with their recommendation.
And I think, you know, the productivity, too. I mean, last year we had, I believe, almost 60 meetings in the course of a day. And these are short meetings. They're 15 minutes, and sometimes they're even in corridors, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know. And at first I know that people are taken aback at that, but that's just, you hit the nail on the head. They are so busy. And they are dealing with so many issues that could range from the environment to manufacturing to campus fire safety, that it's really important that we stand out. And I think, like you said, Bonnie, the students just really make it stand out tremendously, don't they?
Yes, they certainly do.
Yeah.
For sure.
And they are, I've just been so impressed with their excitement and ability to, you know, you as a team, you decide which part of the puzzle you're going to each talk about, and they just come in and fill in their part and come from a student's perspective, and I've just been so impressed with them, as I know the staffers have also.
And last year we built in an educational component. We did a half day the day before the Capitol Hill Day. Oh, and I probably, it's kind of important, I should mention when this is going to be, and I'll mention it again, but it's going to be March 20th and 21st is when we're going to be down there in D.C. And on the 20th, the Tuesday, we're going to have a half day education component where we have staffers come in, we have lobbyists from the major fire safety organizations join us, and we do an overview of, well, first of all, some basic, you know, Fire 101, what codes and standards are about, and then also what legislation's about, because a lot of people just really don't understand this process of how legislation moves through Congress.
Okay.
And it's a long road, isn't it, folks? I mean, it took 8 years for the Fire Safety Right to Know Act pass, and
right.
And each year we have to keep coming back and knocking on the doors to remind them, don't we?
Yes, we do. And
persistence is important.
And so that's very important.
Yeah. And you were saying something there, Matthew? I'm sorry.
I just said persistence is very important. I mean, you have to keep it front and center of our government. And,
right.
And it doesn't stop there. You know, it has to, once a bill has been passed, it needs to be pushed through the different parts of the government to have it implemented.
And last year, what we did too, and we'll do it again this year, is we focus on the committees where the bills are going to be heard, those members, because those are really key, is getting those members on board with the legislation and moving it through. And, you know, I have to admit, probably this year, with the way things are in D.C. and the fact that it's an election year, you know, not much is probably going to make it through. But each year, it's vitally important. We keep, like you said, keep knocking at the door and reminding them of all this sort of thing. So, you know, we're really looking forward to it this year, and I think both of you have been tremendously helpful in pulling all this together and getting people on board. And I guess there's a little contest between the two of you as to who brings the most students, isn't there?
Did you hear about that, Bonnie?
I just listen. This is the first I've heard, but you know. We've got a pretty good contingency down here, I think. Matthew, how many do you think will be coming from?
Well, you know, there's the folks who've actually signed in on Ed's website, and then there's ones that haven't so far.
Well, that's why we have that problem also.
Yeah, but I mean, it's and we have to really, the kids that are coming, I shouldn't call them kids, sorry, the students that are coming, are really taking time out of their schooling to do it. I mean, it's the travel time, the time on the Hill. They're all trying to get permission from their professors to be able to miss this time and come up here. But it's such an invaluable educational experience. I know if I was that age and I had this experience, I probably would have gone down a different path.
Yeah. Well, I do know that the students here, because we have a fire safety training every spring and every fall, and I'm involved with that, so they're well aware of my involvement, and I think it has been, I don't know. They're just they're dear. I mean, they're dear students. They want to do it because they know it's important to me. For one thing, that was the initial, I think, impetus for getting them here. And now the word has spread, you know, of students who have been, just how important it is, and what it's also fun. It's educational. So, you know, I still am part of it, but I'm not the reason they come anymore.
Yeah, and it's certainly a great time to be in D.C. It's right around cherry blossom time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
You mean they haven't already bloomed and frozen? I mean, that's what happened here in North Carolina.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking with Matthew Kuach, who's the Executive Director of the Ohio Fire Safety Coalition, and Bonnie Woodruff, who's a parent advocate and a board member of Common Voices, about Capitol Hill Day, which is going to be happening on March 20th and 21. Anybody listening out there, if you want more information on it, or if you want to sign up for it, and it's totally free, you just have to get yourself to D.C. That's the thing. But the whole program is totally free. You can find out more information if you go to campus-firewatch.com/CHD, which stands for Capitol Hill Day. And there'll be a link on the page here, too, where you can just click on and get more information. But what really, you know, it's been expanding over the past years. Bonnie and Matthew have been pretty instrumental in helping get the word out there and getting people there. But more schools, more students, more people, it just makes for a greater experience. So I think you'll both agree on that one, won't you?
Oh, yes. And they will not regret it. That's for sure.
Yep. Well, thanks, Bonnie and Matthew, for joining me here on Campus Firewatch Radio. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having
us. Thank you.
I enjoyed it.
Okay. Great show. We had just a lot of information put together here, talking to the folks from Emporia about the Campus Fire Safety Community Service Project, the fire at the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, and Capitol Hill Day, which will be happening on March 20th. A lot of information, like I said. There's even more on the webpage here, so if you want to find out more, take a look at the links below to get more information on all three of these things. And on campus fire safety. So glad you could join us. My name is Ed Kamel. I'm your host here for Campus Firewatch Radio on firehouse.com.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.